be.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And this is Kauai Soapbox. I'm Felicia. And Marshall, are you on the line?
Aloha.
Aloha. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck and Kilauea Paint and Feed. We do so appreciate our station underwriters.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and paint sundries, premium pet food, and organic livestock feed, propane exchange and filling too, located just past the Shell station on Kolo Road in Kilauea, Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday from 8 to 1, locally owned Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655.
KKCR listens to you. If you would like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming or to suggest something you would like to hear on your community radio station, go to kkcr.org/contact and take our listener survey. KKCR listens to you.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, Marshall, we've got actually so many things to talk about today.
All right.
Yeah, and later in the show, Yosh Lote is going to be joining us closer to the top of the next hour, around 5 o'clock. And there might be other people coming in, but in general, we're going to be talking about partnering, planning, and preparing, because there's so much going on. And weren't we lucky that the storm missed us?
Yeah, that was like, hey, I'm not going that way. I'm going left.
Yeah, but I'm going to give him a lot of water. And so, you know, we need to be grateful for the rain. I will say that Poly Holly took a really hard hit on the west side. The word that I have is that the road out there is closed.
Oh.
And yeah, that I guess first and second ditch blew out with this rain, and the bridges that were built by volunteers in 2009, those got washed away.
Oh.
So that's kind of a really big deal. If I remember correctly, and if there is an Akamai caller from out there on that side, 826-7771, I really welcome you calling in to give me a little bit more accurate information on that. But the word that I have is that the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, when it got washed out in the past, it was going to be millions of dollars to replace it, and they were going to keep the road closed out there to Poly Holly.
Right.
Because they couldn't afford to do it, and people fixed up the bridges. They just went out and did it themselves and opened the roads, and guess what? It worked. And so, to the state's credit, they listened to the people, and it was not put on the capital improvement plan to be, you know, scheduling out the rebuild of those bridges, because they wanted to keep it rural. So, you know, we'll be looking into it. I did not give the Department of Land and Natural Resources a call between learning it from an Akamai caller earlier today. But we'll find out what's going to happen with that. But that's a really beautiful beach. It really matters to a lot of people, and it'll be tough if that was shut off.
Mm-hmm.
I know the base has been working hard to try and be as aloha as they can. They've been doing a music series there and opening it up a little bit to the public. It's when we've had some problems on the bases in the nation, things happen that are bigger than what the admiral of the base can manage. And then also, if somebody from the base is listening, they are welcome to call in at 826-7771. Another thing that we can talk about in a little bit is that we had an economic storm, in my opinion, one that's been a long time coming. We've been watching and waiting for that, but the global markets had some problems. Did you look into that at all?
Yeah, I've been following it.
So that was China, Japan?
Well, China, yeah. China is where the action was primarily and what affected the rest of the world. It's been a long time coming in China because they've just been growing and growing and growing and have had credit extended and investors speculating, and at some point all that comes home to roost. You have to repay those loans, but meanwhile they've got overcapacity.
And America is deep in debt, too. I mean, a lot of the problems that have been happening, you know, everywhere, we see the European debt. We see all these challenges that are going on all over the globe, really. So China maybe set it off. I've looked and I've seen, you know, some arguments that it was China's fault. Others say, hey, you know, it really wasn't. But it hardly matters to us here. But that might be another storm, as it will, that could curb or prune our overgrowth that's happening. Like, a big piece of what we're going to be talking about today is how we manage the carrying capacity, or how many people do we have on the island for the infrastructure that we have. You know, we don't have that many people, but we basically got one road. So one main road that runs around the island, and people like it that way. But it creates a lot of problems. And too much of a good thing, like, can be really, you know, really hard thing. The overcrowding, I want to say that we appreciate the visitors. So the visitors who are listening and driving down the road, thank you for coming and caring and sharing what you have. And we have these very, very big parking issues all over the place. We have traffic. We have a lot of challenges. And last week we did a pretty strong focus on the Hyena State Park Management Plan, which is where they're looking at taking the area near Ke'e Beach at the end of the road and putting up a gate and having people have to register and, you know, get a camping permit to go to Kalalau. You get a permit to go out there at the end of the road. So it's probably something that would be done online if it ends up being passed.
Oh, you would need to get it before even going out there. You can't just drive up.
If it's not all full, you could just drive up.
Okay.
So surely in the winter and low time periods, you could go and just drive up. But if we're in peak time and it's all full, then it's all full. So that's a problem. And so some people are welcoming that change. Other people are really worried about it because they can't fully distinguish between who lives here versus who doesn't. So they can not charge for people who are from Kauai, who are residents of the island. Looks like we have a caller. Aloha. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. It's Coral.
Hey, Coral. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I just wanted to call, and since you were talking about Ke'e and Hyena, we're pulling together a community meeting on Sunday, this Sunday. It's just a follow-up community discussion. We will invite the members that were part of designing the plan because we do respect all the time they put into it.
But so you're speaking specifically to the Hyena State Management Plan?
Yes. So we're basically having a meeting on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Tahiti Nui Luau Room, on the side of the Tahiti Nui, to discuss the plan as a community.
And so is this being led by anyone? Is this being led? I went to the meeting last, what day was it? Wednesday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very well attended. I would say there was well over 100 people in the cafeteria there at Hanalei School.
Mm-hmm.
That was led by the consultants and the advisory committee that brought this up. Now, this meeting at Tahiti Nui, would it be led by people who aren't part of the plan?
Not part of the plan, but we would love to invite anyone that was part of the plan. I personally am going to do my best to invite as many as possible that I have their contact. So if anyone knows them, please let them know. We'd love for them to be there so they can help answer questions and whatnot. And it's going to be video taped so that we can get just the, we can re-watch it and take notes on the pros and cons of the community's opinion of this plan.
So again, it's this Sunday.
This Sunday, 2 o'clock, Tahiti Nui.
And then, have you, I mean, I know that you're very involved. You live out there in Wainiha and you were at the meeting. Have you gotten an emotional read on how the community has responded to the plan?
I feel that there's maybe three different dimensions to it. Some people are very for it. Some people are very against it. Some people are for parts of it. And so, overall, I feel every single person I've talked to personally is against a visitor center, except for a couple people that feel that it will be educating visitors. But just in general, the development of KA, I feel, has been, most people I talk to are anti that.
Mm-hmm.
And a 10-foot wide boardwalk, 600 plus feet long.
They're not comfortable. They don't like that either.
Yeah, it seems to get people uncomfortable. And people understand and respect the research done that it could do benefits to preserving KA, but at the same time, it's developing it. So that part is what just sits wrong in people's stomachs.
You know what I wasn't really very clear about, and I thought about it later, and I think probably, you know, actually being led by reactions. I will tell you, I've had a lot of people reacting to it,
mm-hmm,
and speaking
very
about
reactive.
It. Very, very, a lot of reactions. Is the Blue Room, is the wet cave blocked because it's in the shadow of the rocks? Can people still go to that?
That hasn't been defined yet, there hasn't been anything definitely decided on that. The overall consensus is it probably would be. And another interesting factor is that the rock fall percentage is at 5%. And if you look across the nation in most studies, it usually is around 20% until they do a drastic change.
Mm.
So that it seems to be a factor for closing the road and safety and whatnot. But all those are the little things we'd like people to bring up during the meeting if people have done further research about details that they can share. So we have reason to, you know, be against or for certain things. I think it'd just be really interesting to hear the input. We're not there to fight or change or do anything wrong. I want to keep that, like, as the message. We're just there to discuss as a community and get the overall feeling.
Right. I felt that at the meeting last week, they did a really good job of explaining it, you know, mm-hmm. And I felt that it was a really civil meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And
because they didn't open it up to discussion.
They didn't really open it up to discussion. I think they had intended to, but it didn't really happen.
Yeah. And usually that's when people get emotional. So they informed everyone of their plan, and we felt like we should have a time to open it to discussion. And so we're just, you know, as a community, putting together a meeting to just open it to discussion and get the true feeling of it. And I would love if people on the advisory board would come and feel what people feel.
Have you sent an email out? I would suggest that an email needs to be really...
Yeah, I'm starting that today, tonight. I'll probably
and probably the consultants, too. I mean, then you're mm-hmm. going to get the best result. And
mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout-out to Joanne Yukimura for coming. I really appreciate it when I see council members come and be there. George Costa was also there from the mayor's office.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend that that email all of them. Just email all the council, because
definitely.
You know, this is part of our whole planning process. You know, and maybe even some of the planning department. They, you know, it's a great opportunity to come out and see what people feel. So,
mm-hmm.
this Sunday is August 30th, and the deadline for comment is September 8th. So it's
exactly.
really not very long away at all. It's a very, very short window. We went through this with the marine sanctuary plan, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very short window of comments.
And that's why we felt if we opened it to discussion publicly, that maybe it'd motivate people to take that moment to give their comments. Look into the plan a little more. Research it a little bit more. So you have a good, valid comment.
Yes, and do you offhand have the email for people to send that comment into?
I do.
Why don't you say it in case people are able
okay,
to?
There's two different ones. We have Lauren Tanaka. She's with the Division of State Parks.
So that's Lauren?
Yep, so it's Lauren, period, A.
Like Apple.
Period, Tanaka.
T. At. At
Hawaii.gov,
I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And the other one was Kimmy Yoon.
Kimmy Yoon, and hers is at KYUEN at PBRHawaii.com.
So P like Pacific, B like broadcast, R like radio.com.
Yeah.
That's not what it stands for, but PBR.com.
Yeah. No, PBRHawaii.com.
PBRHawaii.com.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So people could give their feedback. And
mm-hmm.
I think that parking is going to be an issue and the capacity out there. When they want to reduce it, they estimate there's about 2,000 users per day now.
Mm-hmm.
And when they want to reduce that, they're just throwing a number out there to 900, though that would include residents as well as visitors.
That's yes. And I want everyone to keep in mind that the reason that they cannot differentiate between residents and visitors is because if it was bought with federal money, and so there's certain federal stipulations they have to abide with, and therefore you cannot be... You know what I mean? Can't say, oh, I'm a resident, I'm a visitor. There's certain reasons why there's certain things in the plan like that.
So let's stop for a second. It okay. was bought. That means the state park was...
The state purchased it with federal money.
All right. And that was probably in the 70s?
I think more like the 50s, I think. I forget the number.
60s. Well, I remember they had to condemn it because that was where Taylor Camp was and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So at least they had to purchase up that piece of land. And there might be an Akamai listener who was around then.
Yeah, bring me in here.
I'm not sure you were born then. And I wasn't in on all of that at that point. So that history is important. But so that's an important piece for us to be aware of, that the federal government
yeah.
lent the money for the purchase. So
yes. So just like if you get a grant from the federal government, you are held accountable to what you do, right? So that is why it's been more tricky. And yes, they didn't want to buy it back, but it wasn't possible. So therefore, it's more difficult than just saying, okay, as a state park, we're going to do this and this. It's state park with federal regulations under it, certain ones.
So we would have a closed gate out there, but I do recall that they said always the walking access would be open.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a closed gate with about 100 parking stalls with room to expand that. The idea is, correct me if I'm wrong, they said you need to get the hotels to help get a shuttle to be going in and out of there. Did I hear that?
Something like that. These are all ideas still coming up. So I'm not going to quote any of them because they're still in the process of ideas.
Right.
Ideally, we'd like the, hotels and all these places to shuttle their people to take up less parking spots. And same thing how you were mentioning with permitting. It's not anything, nothing's final yet. Ideally, if you permit it, you don't just go there. Because the other issue I'd like the whole community to take into account is that if they limit the people there, what about Makua? What about the beaches next to Kea?
Or Lumahai, really.
Yeah, the overflow of tourists coming into Haena, they're going to go somewhere. So it's a bigger issue than just, oh, block this or don't do this. There's reasons why people are very strong for certain parts, very for certain parts of this plan, and there's definitely reasons we're very against certain parts.
Right.
So I just wanted to put that out there. I love everyone to share. I'm very neutral. as a person to hear everyone's opinion, and that's why I called to do this invite. I respect everyone that's done the work so far.
So repeating, Sunday, 2 o'clock at Tahiti Nui.
August 30th, yep.
On the room on the side of Princeville.
On the luau side,
the luau side.
Luau side, yep.
Okay.
2 o'clock, and it will go as long as we need it to be. It's 2 to 6. If we need to go longer and people need to be heard, that will be there for them.
Okay, so that is in Hanalei, for those who do not know where Tahiti Nui is. Okay, thank you so much for calling in, Coral.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Okay.
Beautiful day.
Bye-bye. Aloha, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I would like to congratulate all those people who put a lot of work into it also. Unfortunately, they put a lot of work into the totally wrong idea.
Mm.
You cannot preserve the land, the historical and archaeological values out there by paving them over for any parking lot.
Well, it's not going to be paved. It's going to be that existing parking lot that's there, and it's going to be grasscrete. Right?
Wonderful. I believe any kind of alteration, artificially construction of any kind, should be kept out of the park altogether. The shuttle was a wonderful idea. The shuttle was too small at this particular point to be actually effective. A parking spot needs to be found somewhere for 1,000 cars or more outside of the park, anywhere between Hanalei and the end of the road. Maybe there is open land on the Robinson land over there by Hyena Place. There's open land behind the Marcus Place. I don't know whether there's conservation land or not. But there is open land in Hanalei. The shuttles need to be beefed up. The last time I was at a county council meeting, the chairman said, we have so many buses. There are so many buses standing around. Apparently, there's dozens of buses standing around that are not being used. They should be the shuttles to the parking lot. And like Anini, where it says, no longer a county road or a through road, it's a private road for residential traffic only, there should be next to this big parking lot somewhere in Hanalei or between Hanalei, between Princeville and the end of the road, there should be constant shuttle service, and the people should be made to walk in the park. Any kind of construction is nonsense and antithetical to a wilderness park, which is what it is in Hyena. The construction of falling rock mitigation is a horrible idea. It screws with the land itself and with the value that people lay in that land.
What I heard,
people can be made to walk, and the shuttle service, it is already there. The buses are standing around. Find a parking spot. Then everybody who wants to can get on the shuttle and walk, and it's for residential traffic only. There is a possibility to do that.
So, caller?
You don't have to close it to visitors. You don't have to put a gate up. You don't have to keep people out who want to go there. Everybody can go there. Just walk there or take the shuttle.
So, caller, just to add a little bit of this, I love your suggestions, and just to be fleshing it out a little bit better, we cannot even get one of the small buses over the bridge, right? The regular bus can't make it over the bridges in Hyena, so that's a point of issue. Those bigger buses can't go there. They're over weight limit. So
fit them in for smaller buses. You know, these buses are standing idle. They're standing around. The chairman didn't even know how many buses there are. He couldn't count them. There are lots of buses standing over there.
They're too big for the bridges.
They started out with smaller buses before, and they can make smaller buses.
It might be the handy vans might be able to do that, you know, the smaller
buses.
Maybe
they can trade them in for smaller buses somewhere on the other island, on the big, on the mainland or something like that, get 10 smaller buses or 30 bigger buses.
The other piece that I would like to add to is that one of the reasons that they did not leave the road there, at least this is what they're saying, is that they are not going to rebuild the mountainside the way they did in Hanalei. That was something that was abhorrent to the community out there, to be digging at Makana and putting, you know,
exactly.
They're not going to do that.
Well, that's wonderful. That's one concession they make. The plan that they have drawn out is the wrong idea. They have to start from scratch with new plans that does not affect any construction whatsoever in the park. Even that parking lot that they put in there 20 years ago should be turned into taro patches the way it used to be, as the little hui hyena over there has already done with the other taro patches that were lost and borrowed and in the jungle over there.
The hui o maka'ainana o makana, you're liking the work that they have done.
Absolutely. And that sort of thing should be encouraged. And that's the only sort of construction that should be going on in the park. You cannot save the park by making a parking lot in the park or doing construction of any kind over there. And when people walk, they can also be more mindful of the areas. There don't need to be any cars parked anywhere over there. The residents have their own parking spots. And then everybody is free to walk as far as they want and be dropped off by the shuttle at the end of the road.
Well, 15 years ago, the Kauai North Shore Business Council had a proposal to be putting a grasscrete parking lot up on the Mauka side at Princeville, kind of near Pahoku Stables, and that was fought bitterly, so it didn't happen. You know, and at that time, the work was to be with a shuttle bus going in and out. And so I think when I bring that up, is at that time, and I was on that board, by the way, so that's why I know it so much,
We
were saying, please, you know, this is going to be necessary in 10 or 15 years. And a lot of times when we have these planning meetings or ideas, people don't like it when they're hearing it. They say no. And so, again, that's how we are reacting to what has come up here with this group at the end of the road. I will say, when I looked at the names that were on the Citizens Advisory Council, there was across different areas of the community, but dominantly was Maka'ainana o Makana. So the group that did that low-E restoration out there in the cultural sites, they are very much a part of who is suggesting this. So it's a challenge. Did you hear Coral say that Sunday at 2 o'clock at Tahiti Nui it's going to be a meeting to be discussing this?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
And I'll try to attend, even though my brother is coming in on the airport at 4 o'clock.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your mana'o.
Keep the park free of construction. Construction has to happen somewhere else. Maybe have to trade in the taro patches in Haena for taro patches in between Hanalei and the bridge or something like that. A parking spot has to be made, and if they can say in Anini that this is no longer a public road, residential traffic only, it's possible to do that in Hanalei as well.
I actually went and researched that at Anini because I was kind of blown away to see that they changed that. And
yeah.
I did look. In 1991, AmFac sold that road to Princeville for something like $7 million. And then in 2014, last summer, they sold it to the new Princeville for about $17 million. I had thought it was always county road. It wasn't. So it was private, and then now they've let go of it. I was concerned that the county had let or the state had let that road go, but it was private before. So It's got a little bit of a different ownership history, but I appreciate what you are suggesting, that it is just a residential road. So thank you, caller, for sharing your ideas.
You're welcome. Thank you for being there.
You're welcome. Aloha. Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Hello?
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, great. I don't really have a whole lot of things to talk about as far as answers or solutions or anything, but I would like to reflect on my feelings that I have about this plan. Being a resident of Hyena for 42 years, I've seen a lot of changes, and the people that were at the meeting were also, you know, have been here a long time. And so the emotional response was, you know, hard to kind of take in all at once at the meeting. Just to go back into the past a little bit, where we are coming from, the people that have been here as long as me, when I first moved to Hyena, there was a very small community, and there were no fences, there was no trespassing signs. We could free range. There was probably less than 10 actual residents in Makua Bay. I'm not including the Taylor Camp folks, but you know, we all had one thing in common. We were all really very poor people, and we just kind of lived here in harmony, and you know, we enjoyed it very much, and as the years went by, we had to see the changes from way back then till now. So the impact of hearing any change in our lifestyle and in this place where we live is a little more harder for us to endure. It's, you know, we've been subjected to a lot of different things as far as like population explosion with the tourists and a lot more buildings, a lot more houses and stuff. So the impact on someone like me to brace myself for another big change here is a little harder for me and some of the local folks who were born and raised here. So there is a little bit more of a feeling with us that goes along with creating a huge change like this.
What way do you feel like it's going to impact you personally? As a resident, right? Where do you live out in that
area?
Well,
I live out in Hyena, in the middle of Makua Bay. I've always lived here since 1973. Like
so, some people call that tunnels. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly, tunnels. I lived up on the point there in a teepee, and I had a very I was caretaking the area. The police let me stay there because I kept it clean and nice, and they were happy for me to be there to kind of watch things and make sure it stayed that way. And you know, I could walk down the beach and work on my puka shell necklaces. That's kind of the way we survived back then. And I would walk back home to my teepee, and there would be my footsteps with no other footsteps. And you know, it was just a very empty place. There was a 25-year window after the tidal wave where Hyena was absolutely a remote and a very quiet place. So the impact on us and the people that have lived out there that long they're a lot more intense and a lot more of an emotional feeling behind it because we've already been subjected to you know, quite a lot of change in the dramatic sense that there was maybe 200 visitors a year at KA as to, you know, 2,000 people a day. But that's life, and we've learned to live with it, and I have at least, and I'm still a pretty happy person to be living here in Hyena, of course.
Well, what do you think about, like, when you're right there at Makua? That's another snorkeling place. So do you feel that there will be an impact from KA being reduced on Makua?
Well, that was a question that I brought up at the meeting. I kind of had to shout it out because there was no time for us to really to have a talk and to share some of our feelings at the meeting. It kind of closed down after the lady proposed the initial plan on the screen there. After that was done, it just kind of broke apart. So there was no time for us to talk about it and to give our feelings about it, which I'm glad we're having these meetings coming up that Coral Girl has set up. I suggest it's a very important thing to come to. We need to talk. We need to, figure out a way where we're not dividing our community. As it felt like as I was leaving the place, I felt like there were people on different sides of the fence that were friends and relatives, and it's making it harder for us to just speak out because we don't want to create any bad feelings with these people that we've known and love and really respect, like Tommy Hashimoto and Chipper and the folks that are behind. I think their initial intentions with this plan was to really preserve the place, and there was a lot of good ideas, but with time and putting it in the hands of some more or less special maybe state people, it turned into somewhat of a bigger thing with a building and maybe some money involved with making money on the place. I don't really know exactly. I think it kind of feels like it's going in that direction. But when I left the meeting, I had to say that it kind of felt like they were kind of shoving it down our throats, this plan, and we were going to just have to deal with it and lose our access, lose our freedom, and lose our rights. And it was, I felt really upset.
I recognize your voice, and I don't want to, like, reveal anything that a caller doesn't want to reveal, but I see you and your family down there more often than many other users. This lagoon is something that's necessary for your family. Is that correct?
It is. I have a special needs child, and it's one of the only beaches she can access without having to walk a really far distance. During the winter time, the lagoon there is protected by the Big Sur. When it's flooding, it always seems to stay clean because there's no river source that enters into the lagoon there. So the time, you know, there's a lot of days that I can bring my girl down there to swim safely without worrying about dirty water and big waves and currents and whatnot.
My guess is they would always let you and her in there, but maybe the concern might be that somebody who is less, I don't want to say important, but less well-known in your neighborhood maybe wouldn't have the same opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I don't feel like denying access really to anyone is fair. I think it's a bit of a situation of overcrowdedness, but it seems to self-manage itself. I think bringing in a gate where people would have to turn around would definitely impact the Hyena Beach Park bathroom, people waiting in line, for instance, or waiting in traffic to turn around. That bathroom will not facilitate the amount of people. It's not built with an infrastructure of that capacity.
I did call County Parks, by the way, because I know that Hyena Beach Park has a compromised bathroom situation there. There are two septic systems there.
It overflowed this summer with just the campers.
Right.
Twice.
And it is the last park improvement they have scheduled for bathrooms. They are going to extend the leach field. I mean, that's been on the list to do for some time. That will be happening. They're going to extend the leach field.
The leach field will only eventually go into the bay where, you know, our precious fishing grounds are. So that also worries me. The impact of that many people, just I don't think there ever will be really a solution that will be able to
work.
That'll be acceptable. Really.
So, do you have a suggestion? I know that I did go down there recently,
no,
and the cars were parked everywhere. They just lined up.
You know, I'd like to see the roadside parking in most of the areas. You know, those little white ticket fence things that they line along the road to keep people from parking seem to work better than the boulders. Seem a little more dangerous for bikers and motorists alike. I like the idea of the little picket fence, although they're the little pickets with the reflectors on the white ones. Those seem to work really good, and I don't think anyone would get hurt on those. But there's a couple of areas where the cars still park way out onto the highway by Lima Huli on the straightaway before you get to Lono's property, where that turn is that goes toward Hyena Beach Park if you're heading back from the end of the road. There are certain little areas that could, I believe, lesser the impact of the amount of cars down there and people by just eliminating the amount of roadside parking. There are some roadside parkings that I think are good to have, especially for the surfers and the fishermen at Cannons. And, you know, those are definitely important to keep there because of the access that we have in those little areas. There's not a whole lot of people that actually use those, but definitely during surf season, that would be nice to keep open for, like I say, the fishermen and the surfers, alike on the surfers.
Well, thank you, caller. It sounds like you have a lot of good points, and you're going to be at this Sunday meeting at 2 o'clock?
Guaranteed. You know, the main thing is I've lived here a long time. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about our future generations. I know that some of the local folks, that's the most important thing for them too, is keeping this place safe for and nice for their children and their grandchildren, of course.
If I could interject with my own personal observations, something I did appreciate with the plan is keeping and preserving the Hawaiian historical presence and encouraging a presence that is present in the present. It's not about history, it's about now and moving forward. So I really was warmed that there was, real holding space for the Hawaiian culture and the people within the Hawaiian.
I disagree with some of the aspects of the buildings next to Makana. That bothers me, being an artist and being more a person that's, I think, a little more connected to this area, being here 42 years. I have a little bit more of an intimate relationship with that mountain, and I don't feel like building a building and having a fence and a guard there 24 hours a day, you know, with lights and, that bothers me personally. I'm sorry, but, you know, if they want to build a little holly down there with a thatched roof, you know, and, you know, maybe even a bathroom facility that's farther away from the lagoon. That's always been a concern of mine, somewhere up maybe by the visitors' parking. That's something that would, you know, be, even that alone would be a building, but it would be something that would be kind of important to keep the area a little safer and cleaner and
less
impacted by the amount of people that are there.
Thank you. I have a number of other callers patiently
Felisa,
holding,
thank you
but
so
thank
much,
you for calling in.
Thank you for your show.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I've been listening to the radio show from the beginning of it today, and I'm confused on what the issue is.
Oh, okay. Thank you for asking for clarification. These last, I think we had three calls in a row, what they called in about was the Hyena State Park Management Plan. And so that was revealed to the community last Wednesday in a big meeting. And what that does is it is limiting the amount of visitors that can come to that area. And the suggested number is about 900 people, and it can't differentiate between locals or residents. And so there would be a gate there, and people in these peak times, they probably would have to get a permit on the computer, just like as if you're getting a camping permit to Kalalau or something. So it's tough because it's another essentially gated community where everybody's used to being able to do it.
So 900 per what, month, a year?
Per day. Right now, they estimate there's about 2,000 people out there on a peak day, and I think that when people go out there to the end of the road, many people go down the Nepali. So that 2,000 gets spread out over the Nepali, whereas if you turn away 1,100 of them, where are they going to go?
So what's the issue then? Is the parking for the tourists or the parking for the locals or people who want to use Hyena?
The people who want to use Hyena, they're like, hey, you know, how many people who like to go out there? Right now it's very hard in the summertime if you are from here to get out there anyway because it is so packed with cars. It doesn't have the capacity for it. In the wintertime, not such a problem. But what becomes the question is that, like, if we turn away 1,100 people at a gate, then where do they go? The last caller lives, you know, within a mile of where that turnaround place would be. So would they be right there at his beach? Would they be at the next beach? You know, where do they go? And it really begs the question for all of Kauai. Like when we're hearing Polyhali is perhaps closed for some time, where do people go when they can't go where they're used to going? You know, how does it feel when we get things? What part of the island are you from?
I'm from Wailua, Kapa'a.
Okay.
So, you know, like you're saying, go to his beach. That's not his beach.
Well,
I go to any beach.
Right.
But the thing is, one gate is perfect, right? So if we're going to have to turn away 1,100 people, we're going to have to turn away 1,100 people. There's not enough parking, right? So who do we cater to in this situation? Do we cater to the tourists that are feeding us locals? Or do we, you know, not cater to them and just turn them away? So is there another way?
That's the very big question. And last week I had somebody in here from the advisory committee and the contractors for helping do that, the consultants. And a question that came up really vibrantly is the Nepali is the image that's put forward to promote Hawaii in general, not even just Kauai. You know, there's others. There's Diamond Head. There's a person, hula or hibiscus, but it is a very big promotional piece. So when we invite all these people and we show them this amazing place, do we then say, oh, but you know what? You can't come.
So who came up with this proposal?
This proposal has been in process for years. There was an earlier proposal and a new one, and it's the Citizens Advisory Committee. There's somebody in there from the Visitors Bureau. I'll just say it, Sue Kanoho. There are people from real estate, people from the neighborhood, but dominantly it is people with a cultural tie to that Ahupua'a area, and the group is called Hui o Maka'ainana o Makana, and they tend to have probably a disproportionate sway of what's happening there. It is Hawaiian people, Kanaka, that have a historical tie to the area. They have the strongest voice when I look at the numbers. But Surf Rider, there's a pretty good group of people in there.
So are they against it or for the gate?
Well, they came up with the suggestion of the gate. But this is in the comment period. The comment period ends September 8th, and so people are like, okay, you got a voice up. Are you okay with it? Do we have a different suggestion? It's tough because it's a group of people who all love each other, you know, and the people who are saying, hey, we gotta do something. It's not that they want to shut out others. And a piece that is good is there's an exception for cultural practitioners, hunters, fisher people, those with a permit to Kalalau.
So it's going to be like the Iao Nilo up in Maui. On locals are free to go in, but the tourists have to pay.
Locals don't have to pay, but they don't. But they do go in the count. So if right now, if we have typically 2,000 people on vacation there, it might be that people who live here can't hardly get there. Now, something that they've done is if you join a volunteer group and you go and you are actively helping with taking care of the area out there, well, then you can come out and help take care of the area. But people are worried that they're not going to be able to go there anymore and that it will be – some people have expressed concern that anytime something sounds good, maybe they end up being shut out. You know,
the issue is there's too much people going down there.
That's correct.
So is it too much tourists or too much locals?
I hate to single a group out, but it's people on vacation. You know, in the summertime, if you look, it's almost entirely rental cars out there.
Well, then what's the big deal? That's what's fueling this island, right? Let them go.
Well, I mean, and that's an opinion that many people have, and then others don't.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what really happens, huh?
It will be. So if I'm hearing you, you would say we need the economy from the people on vacation so we don't shut them out, that we allow it to be...
If everybody would look up, just look around. The money that comes here, on the tourists pay here. Say we get something else that comes here, brings their money here, it leaves. We need the tourists. Let's cater to them. Let's make a big parking lot, 5,000 people a day. Why not? Right? Charge them all.
Well, I think you'd probably hear a pretty loud voice that would say no to that, but it's certainly a perspective that's worth worth the conversation.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
So we had a caller, Felicia, who had the perspective that based on her experience, and especially the other day when the Hanalei Bridge flooded, it took her an hour to get from Hanalei School across the bridge. And she wondered about in an emergency situation where Hanalei had to evacuate, how much trouble there'd be, and suggested that actually reducing the number of people at the end of the road would be a good step toward safety in that way. There'd be fewer people to get across the bridge.
That's a good point. And just in case she's listening, if you are in a crisis and we're expecting a tidal wave or any kind of problem like that, what you do is you go up the hill. Now, that up the hill can't fit that many cars. You get out of your car and you walk up to the Japanese cemetery just to the west of Hanalei School. You cross the stream and you go up to the left. And when I used to teach at Hanalei School, we would have tsunami fire drills. And we would be trying to keep everybody all happy and race them across the bridge and race them up the hill. And I'll be honest, I don't think everybody would make it. So I believe that that building is built strongly enough, the new cafetorium, and there are ladders on the outside of it, at least when it was first built. I need to look at that. And if there's somebody from... the rescue people, I mean, our civil defense can call in and correct this, but there are ladders on that because that building was a very expensive building. It was built really, really strong, and those ladders are there so people could crawl on the roof and, you know, have a stronger chance of survival in a tsunami.
That's part of the school?
Mm-hmm. It's the most solid building down there, but the entire town is in a floodplain. And when there is a tsunami warning, I used to live right there in Hanalei, it's just, you know, people got their boats and horses and, you know, everything, and they're going up the hill. It's a mass exodus going out. And that's why we have the siren systems, and they did not blow the sirens off this week. We didn't need it, so that didn't happen. But those sirens, when you hear those sirens, that's a warning, and you get to high ground. You listen, like KKCR, we have an emergency broadcast system, and that's one of our roles, is to be able to tell people what's coming, what's happening. And if people look in the beginning of the phone book, it tells the different sounds, whether it's a tidal wave, a hurricane, an air raid. There's a different signal blasts. Aren't you part of CERT?
Yes.
What's that called? What does that stand for again?
Citizens Emergency Response Team. But you know what? I did not know that there are different signals and the sirens for different events.
Mm-hmm. There's different signals. And whenever you hear those signals, like the first of the month, or it might be the first Monday, if the first happens on a Sunday, it's usually around noon, we'll hear the tests go out.
Right.
And the radios will go, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system, you know, this is only a test, but it is there to be able to help people. And we've got a great civil defense program, and, you know, they're calling our phones and telling us what's up.
Right. You know, I wondered in terms of island residents versus visitors getting into the park at the end of the road. I wonder if... you know, how far in advance do you need to get a ticket to get in there? And are visitors going to know about that? Will residents have the advantage just of knowing that you need to get a permit And we're going to have visitors showing up and not knowing that and expecting to get in, not being able to.
Well, there'll be a learning curve. But, you know, people will get used to it, kind of same as has happened with Kalalau. Although, that said, I've known many people who come and they're planning to go to Kalalau and they don't have the permits and they can't get it. I know people who, you know, reserve 4 days and they come on a 3-week holiday, and the 4 days that they could go in that they reserved, it's raining really hard, and they can't go, and they can't shift it. So that becomes part of the concerns. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding. Hold on. Aloha, you're on the air.
Me?
Yes, you are. Hi.
Oh, okay. Hi, because I've been listening to you the whole time.
So oh, my gosh, I didn't even know you were holding.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no problem.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, so I've been listening, and it's a great discussion. I so thank you in the KKCR for providing this venue to speak and communicate. As far as a different idea and thinking in consideration of locals and people that live here, Why don't they shut off traffic to tourists in Hanalei or even Princeville, and only have shuttles and that could help the tourist industry, because then there could be tourist shuttles or whatever, and then just let locals go through, and that wouldn't be overwhelming to the place.
Who pays for the shuttles?
The tourists.
So they would. They would rent a car and then...
Well, if they're going to limit anyway, if their plan is to limit, but it's actually not necessarily too many people, although there's plenty of people, but it's actually way too many cars, right?
Right. It's way too many cars. So it can be a little bit too many people, but it is way too many cars.
So actually just stop the tourist cars from going past even Hanalei.
So there would be a station up there that wouldn't let a rental car come through.
But that just feels to me, and so I know that there needs to be specifics and stuff, and so this is just coming from a gut level of like, mm-hmm. this is what would serve, you know, as far as get used to it, you know, this would serve the locals because they would have their natural access and their children and next generation. Because that's a big problem in Kauai in general. I mean, there's a can of worms here, you know, like there's not housing for anyway. But,
Well, I think you're making a good point. And I think one thing that would help that, it used to be that the Kauai bus went to the airport.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I was paying pretty close attention at the time, and if there's somebody from the rental car companies that want to call in and correct that, but I would like to have a very specific correction, we made it such that upon their request that the Kauai bus did not go to the airport, and that it does this circle where it runs around Lihue. So if somebody gets off the plane and
right,
they get on the bus,
it goes just to the,
you got to go to Big Save. Yeah, you got to go someplace else and catch another bus to get out to Hanalei or somewhere
right.
else. And they also intentionally did not allow backpacks and luggage.
Yeah.
And that was a shame because it forces the cars under the
road. In that way.
Well, it's good for the rental car companies, but it's not good for the roads.
So anyway, that wasn't like as clear and specific as you need for a polished thing, but you know, like really from Hanalei on, the road is there's only capacity for locals, and there's so much meaning, like when you live here you have to pay so much to live here, but you know, like this is natural, you want your children to experience this life, you know, and money can still pay for things, you know, if they're worried about tourists, you know, the tourists can pay for the shuttles, and it's a whole nother business, you know, and, I don't know, Princeville could have huge parking lots, they could charge money for parking or whatever. I mean, that's the way it goes here. There, you know, like, actually, I live on the Big Island, and I come over here, and actually Foodland, you know, charges like a dollar more per item or more here than on the Big Island. And you can't tell me shipping is more here than to the Big Island.
But rent probably is.
Right. All right. True. Okay.
And
still,
yeah.
They work it. It's just, anyway.
Yes. But I appreciate you bringing up all these points. And when I respond to them, I'm not trying to trump you on it. It's you're bringing up really, really excellent points. And, It's worth it to be sharing, okay, some of the little elements, then why it isn't such a simple thing, because I think for so many of us, it just looks so evident what to do. And we did try and create the shuttle service and a parking lot, and it was bitterly fought by the community, bitterly fought. And so we couldn't pull it off. But you're bringing up great points. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Aloha.
And thanks. Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Marshall's in the house here with me. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man, 808 Equipment Rental, and Anahola Cafe.
KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K224CQ Anahola K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Ha'aheo nui o Mokihana Pest Control e kako o aku I ka mālama ana I ka olelo mākua hine a me nā mele o Hawaii. Eo KKCR.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
808 Equipment Rentals, providing tractor, bobcat, and BCS tiller services island-wide, including pasture mowing, garden bed raising, vegetation removal, terracing, gravel spreading, and more. 808 Equipment Rentals in Moloa'a. 823-1000.
Anahola Cafe, located at mile marker 12.5 on Kuhio Highway, is proud to support KKCR. The Anahola Cafe is a community enterprise of the Anahola Hawaiian Homestead Association and serves Saimin and local cuisine daily from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. 631-4134.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Oh, my friend just walked in the door. Yosh is here in the house. And do I have callers holding? Okay, I will take them too. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, thank you so much for holding.
All right. Where you guys was going to stick on? Way up at the top or way at the bottom?
Where was it going to be? It was going to
be... Yeah, where did they put the gate?
Oh, where for the gate for Hyena?
Well, whatever you guys was talking about on gate, we don't security guard letting in people.
The gate would be at Hyena State Park, just a little bit beyond where the cold pond is.
A little bit past that. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have one gate over there.
It would be the road would turn off to the right and have a turnaround. This is the suggestion. Yeah,
right.
And then there would be a gate. You couldn't drive down the existing road. Unless you had...
There just to walk in.
Yeah, and the proposal has a
boardwalk.
Because there's
a telepath zone after a certain area is all...
Yeah, and
that is all special area.
It is very beautiful, and what they are proposing is a boardwalk that would be kind of going along the berm of one of the lo'i that's closest to the mountain.
Oh, right off the road, like on the edge of that one, walking path.
Yeah.
Oh, like a big cultural area, yeah?
Cultural area, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really beautiful things that are intended to be there. I mean, at least for me, when I heard the vision and the idea, if you think of what... Limahuli Gardens is like, that it would almost feel like it extends down and goes all the way out there, and the he'au at the end of the road, which is,
you know, you wrap that whole place with a walking system.
Yeah, that's right.
So people can look at the Haina and look look at Tarapacha, you know, because all the air going to continue to Tarapacha all the way as deep as can.
Yeah, and it would be very beautiful. And there are some really special Ivi Kupuna out there that, you know, would be, you know, respected. There's a lot.
That's what you're talking about, the restriction of people.
Yeah.
Because not too many people live after that in terms of residence.
No one.
So, I mean, like, that is just for that section out of Haina over there. Because I go over there, and when we're going down the coast or something, you got to go early. You know that. Get up early, cuz. You know what I mean? But the tourists, I see what you mean. They go down there, no more place for park.
Right.
The locals know already. You better wake up early.
That's right. And then what else is the case is that the state wants to put something like they did to Hanalei Hill, put something up on the mountain. They're wanting to do this in Kalihiwai, also put a whole system so the rocks...
That fence thing?
That fence thing that's kind of embedded
the
mesh.
Yeah, contribution of controlling the rocks.
The rocks, and, you know, people didn't want them messing with the mountain out there. It's hard to have any of these mountains messed with, and I honestly worry about it. Like, you put steel bolts...
Yeah, but since they blew up quite a lot of bugs, different over there.
Yeah.
I'm not happy.
So by...
They don't give me blowing up the walls the way it is silly.
Yeah, so one of the ways to get around augmenting the side of the mountain is to no longer have that be a regular road out there. And at least that was what was explained in the discussion.
Ooh, is there a big money in this thing? Is this whole issue about money?
Well... I mean, when people...
I mean, is this a monetary driven from whoever, the state? What is it?
Well, where there is some money in it is the people that would be going out there that don't live in Kauai would be paying to park.
Tourists
would be paying, I think, even probably for a permit. So if you had...
Right there at the gate or before you get to the island?
Either can, I think. Those details haven't been worked out,
wow.
But... Yeah.
Oh. I guess it's money then. But, you know, what they're doing out there is beautiful, and I think they should let all the Kanaks out there run that whole area.
That's the plan.
And you know what I mean? The money should go to the whole area, you know what I mean? Because we already, I'm going to tell you where we're headed, you know, us guys is, we accepted Hanalei already as being one, like one Waikiki style set up.
But you don't live in Hanalei. How about the people who live there? Maybe they don't like that.
Yeah, no, but you know
feeling.
What? We it's hype. You know what I mean? Hanalei is hype now. So that comes with it. You know, it comes with it. With the hype on the magazines, we get the baddest athletes. We get bad surfing. We get the best aina. We get good food. Well, that's the hype. Hanalei is happening, you know. And, you know, you max them out as much as you can so we can pump this money. Because, you know, all the locals gotta pay their bills. So just pump them, you know what I mean? The end of the road is nothing, you know, whatever. But that's how Hanalei is already. The
well,
locals
it feels,
is kind of moving out.
You're bringing up a really great point.
You know
because
what I mean? Come on, you know, on the North Shore, you go pipeline, but it's dead, then it's hype. Right, and you guys out there on the North gotta realize, but I wish we had all the business that you guys get out there. We're no more out over here, so.
Where do you
live?
You
guys gotta enjoy. You guys get nightlife, but you get your own bar over there. You guys can go dancing. I live on all us guys. Mm-hmm. What do you think? We stay all outlaws over here. We don't want any kind of dancing, nightlife, musician kind of stuff. We want a lounge where we can hang out. You know, the area down you guys get by Qingyang.
Yep.
But locals love that area. You know what I mean? Get a lot of negativity people bringing up about plenty of people, but a lot of locals, they love it. So you guys out there, just whatever your decision is, not my business, but whew, we love the North Shore.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your input.
Yeah. Have a beautiful day. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
This is Saul.
Hi, Saul.
You know everything. Every Tuesday, I swear I have an audience at my house because Felicia Cowden is the talk of the town.
Well, aloha, audience at your house. I'm so honored. And so is Marshall and Yosh that are sitting in here, too, and the callers.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say, that was the first Hawaiian prior to me, meaning that I've been telling all the while, a whole lot, about who Felicia Cardin is really about. If she's going to work for us, or if she's going to work for the other guys. Well, you know, I tell the boys, she's going to work for everyone. And Felicia, are you good? Team that can help the community of that shuttling, because Hawaiians get land down there.
Yes.
And I know them all. And one of them is my auntie. And we, if you talk things like this here, why a team cannot be drawn towards the Hawaiians? Because, you know, to me, local means you're born and raised here, not you live here 40 years, 50 years. You know, you came from someplace else. To me, a local is you born and raised. So all the people that I'm talking about, I'm going to get all these guys come over there, Tahiti and Nui, and sit down and listen to this issue that you guys have going on. And maybe I can conjure up something with the Hawaiians out there to where, not the county, not the state, because the issue over there is that side of the world of Kauai. How come the money not could be drawn towards the Hawaiians instead of the county or the state?
Well, that's a really good point, and I hope to see you at that meeting. I'm going to go. And, even though this is a very North Shore issue, or, you know, it's very specific to Hawaii.
What do you mean, North Shore issue? I am Hawaii.
I know. What I was going to say is that what's happening out there is really an issue that affects all of us, because what happens in one place maybe happens in another, and how do we look at it?
No, it just affects you.
We
will make it to where it'll affect only the Hawaiians there, because nobody before I called was all white. Everybody called before then was all white. Now the Hawaiians are getting on the phone and going, okay, but it's my turn. Now listen to me. Goodbye, Felicia.
Okay, thank you so much. Aloha. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia.
Hi.
Hey. I've lived on the North Shore for over 30 years. I'm white. I have so many friends that were born and raised here. And for me, I think the tourists are important, but what's priority over tourists at this point on this island are the people that were born and raised here. When I used to go down to the end of the road 30 years ago, no more tourist cars, maybe a couple every day. But I think that we need to limit it to the tourist cars. We get plenty of money on the North Shore already. I think too much already. I think it's ruining the local cultural way of life. So I think we need to come to a conclusion and a solution for the end of the road that respects the people that were born and raised here. Yeah, let's let, you know, the tourists come and look at this beautiful place, but what about the influx of all of the tourist cars? I mean, in the past 10 years, it's quadruple fold. So if we make a parking lot before the end of the road, but to start paving or even grassing areas so that what is there now gets changed, and putting up a boardwalk, a concrete boardwalk. Why do we need that?
I think it's not concrete boardwalk. I think it's a wood boardwalk, you know, kind of like they have up at the Alakai Swamp.
Got it. Okay. Do we need a boardwalk? I mean, for eons, we've enjoyed that pristine place
without boardwalks, whether it be concrete or wood.
I think that the purpose of that is to not ruin the berm of the lo'i, as well as to keep people all guided into a small area and not just going into the lo'i and into the sacred places. I think it kind of corrals people. And if you're on a wheelchair or something like that, it would make a difference as well.
Well, that sounds okay. My other thing is, are there restrictions for the rental car agencies on how many vehicles that get to come to this island? It's just preposterous, the amount of traffic that we have. And I don't know the answer to this, but do they get to bring as many cars as they want to, whenever they want to, on our little precious island?
I will find out.
Yeah.
I believe that is not restricted. I mean, I'm sure they have certain restrictions, like what they can afford and how much parking they have. But, I don't know that there is a cap on that, nor do I know if there's a cap on the number of planes that come in.
Right. I think that would be a good thing to check
out.
Thank
you. And
you're welcome.
I have a number of callers, and I have a guest in here, too, that I'm going to let get on the air in a minute. Okay, thank you so much.
Aloha.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia. Marshall's helping with Kauai Soapbox, and Yosh is in the house. Okay, aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I had another idea for a possible end of the road, maybe if we marry a couple of the ideas that have been mentioned, so that we don't totally pigeonhole or totally kind of limit tourists completely, but we still give locals a little bit of preference. What if there was some sort of permit system that you could get to drive to the end of the road, and it was cheap, not expensive, and maybe some percentage of those went to locals? And then in addition to, so I'm just going to make up numbers. Obviously, this would be more precise if we took this idea seriously. But say we let 500 permits for cars go up there. And then in addition to that, you have 500 first-come, first-served vehicles that can go into the road. And then after that, they potentially shut it off for the day. So there's still a cap, but there's a way that you can reserve it, and you could make sure that some percentage of those permits go to locals versus tourists or something like that.
Right. It's all the devil's in the details. There's all kinds of nuances, but thank you for making that suggestion. And, that would... maybe you can come to one of these meetings. There's a meeting on Sunday at 2:00 at Tahiti Nui in Hanalei on the 30th. So thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for discussing it. Aloha.
Aloha. And I had another person texting me that if there was a dirt trail, it would be a big, bloody mess. And this is from somebody who does a lot of trail work.
You know, that's interesting about the first come, first serve option. I mean, they could actually have it online in real time, how many first come, first serve spots are left. You could see, okay, there's still 100 I can go.
That's right. Although then you're going to have some sort of elaborate counting system. I mean, you know, but that is a really good piece. Just like when you can tell how high the river is.
Right.
That would be good, so people don't drive out for nothing. Yosh, put your mouth up to the mic. Say hi.
Aloha. Aloha.
So Yosh is here. He's with the Kilauea Neighborhood Association. Do I have anybody else holding?
No.
Okay. So Yosh, it's a good time. Pull the mic up to you. I have to make people do that so they don't sound like they're down the hall. I want to talk a little bit about infrastructure, and we're going to end up with your ag park, because that's part of the solution. But I want to move it out just a little bit, because we've been very specific to Haena, and you know, there's all these issues that happen, but really Haena is one place that is got that heavy usage, but there are other little spots too. And I'm looking at you. I know your wife works at Kilauea Point at the lighthouse, and she does a really good job there. I live really close to it, and that's got a gate on it, and it's pretty much shut off to all of us. You know, I mean, it's really a production to go there. It's not like you can walk there. You can't even walk down there anymore. I live in walking distance to it. And so, you know, the management plan on that one, it seems to be pretty much directed at people on vacation more than residents. It's scary when these things happen. So I recognize when people are a little nervous. And
I think change is always something people are afraid of. I encourage people to try things out and to be stuck with one plan might never be the best route. So as they enter these trials down Haena, just to always keep your mind open, look at the reality of what the change has done and adjust as it goes.
And we have all these infrastructure issues. I'm just going to give a little statement. I think I might have already said it, but like Princeville's septic system or sewage system got overwhelmed by this storm, just like the one at the Alawai on Oahu. The first numbers they put out, 500,000 gallons, although I guess a few years back they had to spill out 48 million gallons of sewage in there. Hanalei River looks really pretty darn bad right now. They've been doing some work up on that embankment in the river, and it's really pretty dirty. But, you know, we have this GET tax. Have you been following that? It's being proposed 0.5% to be able to go to the county. That's when you purchase something. It's like another half cent in there just to be able to be working on these transfer stations that are leaking and the septic systems. I guess there's like a cesspool that is surfacing in the beach in Kapaa. I've seen pictures out there. They've got a permit. They're going to go out and take care of it. I mean, I want to get Public Works on the radio here, and I don't like to like slam them. It's a lot of work to do what they're doing, and they don't have enough money. And so when we have this carrying capacity, it's a real issue. Do we have a call?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we're going to take that call. Then we're going to talk about your Public Works issue and what you actually need help with. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
This is Brother Yosh and Marshall Kaylee calling, yeah?
Hey, Kaylee.
How are you, folks?
Good. Hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you being in here last week. And so you've been hearing probably everybody humbugging a little bit. Like,
yeah,
we haven't had anybody say, yay, this is great. So
right. Well, you know what? I want to put this message out there, and this way for everybody. Okay. That's our grassroots Haena. Nobody went what we went through to today. Now, what we going to do? Are we going to grumble about the situation, or are we going to make things better than it was? In a situation that it's in right now, mind you, the traffic. For me to go down to the lorry, I gotta fight every morning. I'm sick of this. Now I don't need crybabies, coming over here and for opening their mouth, think before they open their mouth. Okay, think. It's not only for us. The Kupunus gotta go through this. That live down there forever. We cannot be selfish, okay? There's an issue. Let's take care of this issue instead of fighting and talking nonsense.
Yeah, I totally support you, Kelly. You know,
yeah.
I believe that just pushing whatever years and years of work that's been put into this plan aside for little tiny concern is ridiculous. It needs to be dealt with, and any action is better than no action. So
exactly,
I definitely encourage you guys and keep going. It's just sometimes the state, they work with a plan and they cannot move away from it. And that was kind of what I was trying to say. Well,
exactly.
You know, let's make sure that as it evolves, we look, oh, this is what happened. We never thought about this. So how do we deal with this? And just grow with it.
Exactly.
Let it be its thing.
And come on. Yeah, you said it, Bob. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And another thought that I had, you know, reading the plan is that locals want to have privileges. They want to be having the ability to park, and I believe that too. However, as a local, you also have a responsibility to take care. So
exactly.
If there is a place down there where people can help the Hui Maka Ainana down there. That can help you guys put so many days a year and have the privilege they're asking for. But no more free handout. You gotta work, you gotta take care of your kuleana, and you gotta make sure that ultimately it's for the island, it's for the kupunas.
Exactly, because, and the thing about it is, you know, you said it a lot, you hit the bullseye, you know, hey, calm down. The Ainai there is for the young and the old. Hey, calm down or come join us. Don't listen to any kind of BS going on. If you're just like, no, what's going on? Come talk, sorry with us down there. Come talk to us.
Kaylee, did you hear at the beginning of the show that Coral had called in? There's, people who want to do another talk story Sunday at Tahiti Nui at 2 o'clock. It might be really great if the Citizens Advisory Committee can come to that. You know,
yeah, if
Lou outside.
If they want me to come I'm more than happy to come and get everybody, because, again, what are we going to do? We're going to sit on the side and cry like babies and not do nothing and then let things get more worse, So, anyway, excuse me for getting a little upset because, I like the OPO wake up, too, and see what we're trying to do, okay?
Yes.
We're all about taking care of our Aina.
And the kids.
You, yeah. Take care of you folks. We love you folks.
Malo for calling,
Kili. You're doing a good job.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Aloha. So, Yosh, Kilauea, and when we have these challenges, and some of the things that we are talking about is, we got another caller. Okay, we'll take this one more caller, and then I'm going to give you a turn. Okay, aloha, caller. Thank you. You're on the air.
I have a question about just the general master plan, and I'm hearing Kaylee on the radio, and I appreciate everything he's saying. Does the master plan offer protection to those that are implementing it? That, let's say, their plan goes through, but then they realize that there's maybe a glitch in it, or there's something that they don't like after implementing it that isn't working, or isn't working like how they would have liked it to work. Are they protected within that master plan to make changes?
When you
or have
say,
they kind of like signed their names on the dotted line and made an agreement to follow exactly the plan itself?
So I think,
you know what I'm saying?
I think I know what you're saying. Like, is there like little circuit breakers?
I'm hearing what Kaylee is saying, and I can agree on so many ways, but is there protection for the people that are like helping to create this master plan?
You mean like liability insurance?
No, like if time goes on and they say, oh gosh, this isn't really working exactly how we wanted to, or it's really not working how we wanted to. It needs to change. It needs to shift to uphold our vision of really what it was made for. Do they have a safety net within that master plan to ask for adjustment or changes? Or is it funded somehow to where they can't have those changes?
I think I understand what you're saying, and I would say definitely come to this meeting that's coming up, and then also that is a really good issue to raise. What I felt like I heard at the meeting last Wednesday is they do want everybody's mana'o. They do want to know how people are feeling, and I call it crowdsourcing information. Mm-hmm. And so you're bringing up something important. Like, if there's something that doesn't work, how can it be changed? And when we have, I don't know what price is there for the permit. Let's just pretend it's $5 per person. Sometimes you get an income stream like that, it gets pretty hard to want to let go of it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying about like the people that are, like the Hui and Haina, they have this beautiful vision. Like, are they protected within that vision, like within the master plan, if something really isn't exactly what they thought it would be?
Well, I think we could look at other examples, like what's happening at Nualolo Kai, though that doesn't have a lot of people coming on vacation, but Nualolo Kai is a partnership. There are other partnerships around the islands, and so probably looking for where there is flexibility embedded within it would be a very important suggestion. And
yeah.
So let's add that to
like
the
Like I would
talk.
Hate to have that taken away from anybody who is trusting in the master plan.
Right. So that, like, I won't name a name, but one of them's got the Quiliana of the hair out there. And then so if, oh, they get all behind this, and then all of a sudden, oh, not, that's
yeah,
not
because
happening.
Because when you are part of creating a master plan, you're putting your trust. You're putting your trust into big entities to help facilitate your vision.
Mm-hmm. We had very robust conversation on the radio and in the community, like I would say. Robust is an understatement relative to the Marine Sanctuary Plan, and I think that that's what people were feeling there. They don't trust the federal government. I don't think people are as shot on the state, but that was there.
Like, I just feel like, is this master plan confining people into this box of certain rules and regulations and situations to where there won't be freedom for the deciding group who's a big part of this master plan to maybe someday step out of the box and go, okay, this doesn't feel good to us. It doesn't feel good like it's supporting our Hawaiiana or really our vision of why we're doing this
and
our
you
heartfelt
for,
vision.
Like. Thank you for calling that in. I have heard that about the lighthouse in Kilauea, that sometimes it's too locked up. You know, when the people had did send it over to the feds, then they really didn't know what they were getting, not what they were bargaining for. Not that the people out there don't do a good job, but it is the feds. It's not the community. So thank you for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Felicia.
Aloha.
Okay, bye.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Marshall's in the house with me, and so is Yosh. I'm going to read what Kapuna Jose Bulatau sent me, and then we are going to shift our dialogue. And Yosh is laughing at me here, but we got to respect Uncle Jose. So he says, hi, Felicia. I hope your discussion may cover some of the following. Number one, should there be a carrying capacity figure with respect to the number of visitors what we should have annually? He means for the island. If so, how would that figure be determined and by whom? Number two, to what extent should we as residents and they as visitors be educated and accountable with respect to Malama Aina practices and principles? Like, how do we get educated about protecting and preserving our finite resources? But is there a plan by which environmental integrity is being monitored? So that's another good question. I'm just going to read through his questions. I'm not going to really answer them right now. Number three, should an entity be established consisting of representatives from the visitors industry, the environmentalists, the kapuna who are knowledgeable about traditional values and practices, the education department and public officials from the county and state levels as a shared kuleana or responsibility to spearhead this vital endeavor? He believes it's time to go beyond pointing at the problem and to become more proactively engaged and involved in a solution-based outcome. Sincerely, Mr. B. Thank you, Mr. B. And that sounds a lot to me like what the general plan update is supposed to be. And we've been talking about that. And the more people can actually engage, the better. So Kauai Kako, K-A-U-A-I, K-A-K-A, makes KAKOU.com. That means all of us in Kauai. That is the general plan update. So thank you, Mr. B. Yosh, your turn.
Yeah, mahalo kupuna for bringing all those points. I definitely believe in carrying capacities. They have them for buildings. They should definitely have them for outdoor and the environment, and that's recognizing the tax it takes, the toll it takes on our natural resources. I believe that this should be completely off-limit as well, to let the whole place just rest. We are very fortunate on this island that we can actually control exactly how many people get here by the amount of flight and amount of seats that are being sold. So it is a discussion that nobody who has a business wants to engage in, but really to provide a good experience for our visitors, to take care of our island, to take care of our local people, we have to go that route. And I'm very much like yourself in implementing the solution, focusing the energy on what works, the needs that need to be filled and not focus so much on all the problems and perceived problems that we have. So the Lighthouse is definitely a place where they've been focused on dealing with the hundreds and thousands of visitors they have every day. They do try to provide for the local community by having the free days. They do environmental education to the schools and try to be as present as they can for the community. However, just like the county, just like the state, all those governmental agencies are running out of money, and they've become a burden to themselves with the administration and the offices and everything they have to pay for, and the funds that are coming in are more and more limited because the people who make all the money and should pay the most taxes find all the loopholes and the foundations and every which way to not give the money to the government and keep it under their control. So that's where I, you know, got together with people in Kilauea and the old-timers to create a nonprofit that would represent the community, and we called it Ainaho Kupua Kilauea. And with this entity, we entered a stewardship agreement with the county and are taking care of 75 acres towards Kahili Rock Quarry Road and Sea Cliff. That's stated to be an ag center or ag park for the last 30 years. So we have put a fence around the site to limit the camping and the dumping, and are actively cleaning right now. And this Saturday, we invite people to come from 8 in the morning to 10 in the morning to basically pick up the smaller trash that the excavators were not able to remove. We took about 30 cars out of the gulch and 60 yards of rubbish. So we've done the bulk of it, and before the grass gets too tall and we can't see the rubbish, it would be wonderful if people could participate and be there this Saturday morning. It'll be signed, but it's at the end of the paved portion of Kahili Rock Quarry.
So do you need big, strong people with big trucks, or what kind of people do you need?
Everybody. I mean, I think it's an opportunity for families to come down and be in touch with their aina. It's picking up small rubbish, raking, maybe digging some clumps of grass. And but the bulk of the focus of these days is really picking up the rubbish. So we'll have bags, trash bags, but bring your gloves. And if there's a lot of strong guys that want to do a little harder work than picking up rubbish, then pulling up the clumps and the guinea grass out of the fence, the new fence area is the other focus.
You've been working really hard on it. I live a block away, so I see what you're doing. And I want to also applaud you for being so important at Waipa. You really make a big difference down there. It's a big thing to be sharing both of those, and you do a lot of good things. This ag park is going to be 75 acres, and it's sort of like, instead of having a community garden, it's like having a community farm. At our next Kauai Farmers Union meeting, I was going to invite you to it, mm-hmm. Not necessarily to speak, but to be present. We're trying to frame that up as like a it's not totally put together yet, but a business planning element for farming. So with, I'm going to invite, I won't say his name on the air right yet because he hasn't gotten the call from me, but the food distributor who I've dragged into the show here, looking for what kind of crops they need. There's organic farming. There is a demand for it. He said that there, I'll say it, Earl from Misaki's. Earl, if you're listening, I want to see if you'll come in and come to the meeting. They have a need, and sometimes he says a small farmer can't create enough. But maybe if they need, I don't know, I'm just making it up, bell peppers. I'm just grabbing something out of the air. And
that's
takes,
where, you know, working
we
as...
We do collaboratively.
Yeah, as a hui of farmers, making the land available, because that's obviously number one hurdle is as a farmer is to find a place to farm. Then that's my next burden is making sure there's enough water for the farming. But as a group of farmers, definitely the issue of having the volume to satisfy the distributors, hopefully, will be met. So,
well, yeah, and it's how do we create new markets instead of like competing with each other? Maybe if there can be enough volume, we can identify what's needed. I wanted to bring somebody in from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to talk about crop insurance for diversified ag. We could have hurricanes or big storms, and that's a big deal. So people
could
get paid.
Yeah, I think the amount of food and I think that's figured out. They bring in the food that we need, and we pretty much all have something to eat. However, the type of food that we're eating, I think, is where we can make improvements. And switching to more of a subtropical diet and eating foods that grow readily here, when we make a fruit salad, not to just have grapes and apples and oranges from somewhere else, but rather have papayas and pineapple and bananas that are from here. Those are little changes that everybody can make. And yes, the site is going to try to focus to see how we can grow food for the community, not focus on export farming, and also find ways to engage the community to participate. And those work days are part of those things, but also allow small plot farming for families, as well as maybe an acre that's farmed by a master gardener that will be teaching people that are intimidated by a small plot, and grooming and growing the farmers of tomorrow, because we need new kids, local kids, to realize that there are great opportunities in taking care of the land, growing food, a pride, and mostly a lifestyle that we're working to make real here on this island by providing housing along with the farming at some point.
Mm-hmm. I'm segueing into a handful of little things. Tomorrow at the county council meeting, the farm worker housing will be coming up again. The living wage will be coming up again. It's a committee meeting, but it's a really important time to be able to influence things like that, because that is really what helps us all stay here. I want to also point out TropiCare that came up in the last county council meeting. The TropiCare people were there. They're coming again in 2016. I think the community is beginning to trust that crowd a little bit. It's kind of nice. They're excited to come. The Air National Guard is leading it this time. 1,500 people signed up to want to come over from the different branches of service.
I'll bet.
Yeah, and it's you know, it teaches them to be able to work together, different parts of the military. And so that is kind of fun and exciting. Another announcement for this evening, I meant to say it earlier, 6 o'clock in Kalua, there is a meeting about a cell tower that's being proposed there. Marshall's smiling at me.
It's just we did those tests.
We did this test. I get in trouble for just about everything I do. So I've been promoting the affordable housing here, and it happens to be near a cell tower. So somebody gave me one of these. You're going to hear it for a second. This is a meter that tells the EMF.
This will be interesting to see what happens here in the studio.
Well, in the studio, I actually already did look at it. It's surprisingly not that bad, but we walked out near the cell tower. There is a signal. It wasn't too terribly bad. We also did go right over the smart meter panel, because it's like, and no lie, there is a reading, but it is not too bad. Not in the mass thickness of the building seems to be knocking that back a bit.
Right. Just the walls. So the tower compared to the smart meters compared to an iPhone.
The iPhone was...
The worst.
The worst.
Yeah.
The worst. But here's the good thing, is that really it really wasn't too bad over there, because then I was like getting a little beat up for not making stink about that. So I went and I looked. The next place is going to go and check on what's going on in my house, but I don't really want one of those cross street for me. We did really put up a big resistance to that, and Yosh, you were part of helping getting that moved. So that is moving in Kilauea to an area where there are very few houses near it.
And I will say, Felicia, you're also very resistant to getting a smartphone. So there's a consistency there.
I know. And my good girlfriend who's listening, hey, Sharon, thank you for sending me an iPhone. And I am going to jump across that chasm, but I'm still fear-based. Especially I measured Marshall's phone, and it was, it definitely had some. Jazz with John is coming up in 15 minutes. And in Kalua, I think you could call Jerry D. Pietro, because I don't actually remember where that meeting is. But I'm giving Jerry's phone number out on the radio. 651-1332. She is who is organizing this meeting, concerned about the cell tower going in Kalua.
So, yes, I had a question about the Ag Park down there. Will there be opportunities on site for making value-added products?
That's a good question. In the master plan that the county developed, there's no real mention of that. There is a four-acre energy park that was slated to be part of it to provide power to run the pumps, but also to provide income, as we would be selling most of that power back to KIUC. So
I didn't know about this.
Yeah,
how many acres?
Four
wow.
acres. Yeah, it's kind of plenty.
So that's solar panels?
That would have been all solar panels.
So you're saying would have been? Is that going to happen? Or is
well,
that going to happen?
You know, it's a $1.2 million price tag thing that would be covered by some of the incentives, and that would eventually generate, I think, a couple hundred thousand dollars. So I will be definitely looking at it more seriously, but I would probably want to see if we could put buildings under those solar panels rather than just put them on stands.
Yeah,
and,
I like that.
And run
better.
Some cold storage. I would be more inclined to seeing things that help the farmer. There will be certified kitchens in other places, just like maybe a full-on storefront and things like that. I think there's commercial space to do that. We need to use the land for farming, because I know that's not going to be the biggest money generator. We can bank more money doing a train ride for tourists or things like that, but that's not what this site is intended to do. So we will probably not do that. It's such a young stage. I welcome input from people, and we will be having meetings.
And Jerry D. Pietro, who I just gave her phone number out to the world, she didn't mind. She said the meeting for is at the Kalua Neighborhood Center on Valley Valley Road in Kalua. She did say mahalo, 6:30 tonight. So I had the time wrong, 6:30 Kalua cell tower meeting. I believe I have another caller.
No, Felicia, mm-hmm. Somebody would like to know if anybody has seen a black lab mix.
Okay, well, there's a found dog. Let's look at this one. Oh,
female.
No, this is an Ko'olau small
Sorry.
White dog with black and tan spots. So they want to know if there's what?
A black lab mix, black dog.
At Rock Quarry, and is there a number?
Female.
What number should they call?
Do you
if
want
they
to
find?
Give out your number?
Should I just put her on the air? I mean, I'm just going to put the person.
808-651-4308.
808-651-4308. Thank you.
Just before we started going on the cell phone tower thing, I think I just wanted to add how the Lighthouse also owns the portion of land down Kahili Rock Quarry on the Kilauea side. And part of their CCP for 15 years
What's
is
CCP?
Comprehensive plan to basically give a direction to the refuge so that when new superintendents come, they don't do what they want, but actually follow some kind of guidelines. They have allowed community groups to be involved in not only making comments on the plan, but to actually change the direction of what the feds wanted to do, which was maybe putting a gate and limiting
yeah.
the hours and doing all this stuff. Not the gate, the limited hours, limited activities. And the community came out to say no, and has put a foot forward to create an alliance between KPNHA, which is the bookstore, the Lighthouse, a nonprofit, the Hawaiian Trust for Public Land.
Kilauea Point Natural Historic Association or
yes,
something like that.
Yes, the Kilauea Neighborhood Association, as well as Aina Ho Kupu, will all put funds aside to basically pay for a local person to go down and do monitoring twice a day Down Rock Quarry for educating people and ensuring that the rules are being respected in regard of no camping and things like that. And that, again, is how we create the solution, how we, as community member, start to take ownership of those special places that we enjoy and monitor and take care of them and be involved. So I really encourage people to keep being involved, but try help out.
This is a big deal to me because it's my home break. Are you saying there's not going to be a fence there?
There's not going to be no gate, no.
No fence?
What do you mean fence?
I mean, can we still walk down there?
That's the idea. The road is going to be fixed and
open.
You'll be able to drive, which they were concerned about the excess traffic. So that's where the monitoring comes in. And we need to still get together with all these nonprofits and actually really create that vision. But it doesn't happen with just four or five people. It needs to be the voice of a community. If you do enjoy those places, come down, get involved. Please, you know, picking up the rubbish and things is great, but it's really about the presence, not allowing vandalism, not allowing camping on long-term basis and things like that. Commercial use of the place, those are the concerns that the Fish and Wildlife have. And we've, as a community, has said to them that we will do what we can to address those concerns. And they're willing to listen, they're willing to work with us. And I think it's the same thing, Kelly, you guys are doing down Hyena, where community is stepping up, and we need to take charge of things and not stop blaming the county for not doing their job or blaming the state or the feds, but to personally get those jobs done.
And democracy is a lot of work. People need to show up. If you don't show up and complain later, it's really difficult. And I want to make a little announcement for KQ2 Career. It's a program. I was expecting a call in, so KQ2 Career, Kauai Planning and Action Alliance, call in. They are having a contest, a photo contest for kids, and it's sort of in alignment with what our whole show's about. They want kids to be taking photos of either what they want less of, what they would like to change, or what they want more of. And I think it's really important that our children are engaged in thinking about it and knowing that they can make an impact by having their voice heard, and they can way more than they realize.
But as parents, that's not your cop-out to not do something about it, because even if you have to drag your kids and threaten to take away their phone or whatever, it's that family time, it's the time you spend in those special areas together that will ultimately make your kid do the same when he grows up.
So I'll come. I'll help. What time?
8 in the morning, Saturday.
So I'm going to bring my gloves. I'm going to probably wear boots. Try not to get too sunburned, but, you know.
If it was up to me, it would be at 5 in the morning, but I don't think too many people would show up.
Okay, do I need anything else? Do I need my truck?
I don't think so, no. If there's a few trucks that want to take the bags of rubbish afterwards, we'll be welcome to do that.
Okay, it looks like we have one last caller, and they got to be quick because then we're going to hear the county council report. Aloha, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hi. Yeah, this is Marion Paul with KQ2 Career.
Hey, thank you. And turn your radio off, okay?
Yeah, I'm walking away from it because I'm not as technically advanced as others.
Yeah, the off, on, off, on. It's usually a button. Anyway, go on.
Hi, I'm with KQ2 Career, and we are doing a photo challenge that you were so kind to mention to help our kids find their voice. We are asking students from grade 6 to grade 12 to take photographs of what they'd like to see more of on Kauai and what they'd like to see less of. And to enter the contest, all they need to do is go to kauaiphotochallenge.org and register and enter, and all the rules are on there.
Kauai Photo Challenge, and that's spelled right, P-H-O-T-O.
Yes. And the nice thing about it, Felicia, is that the kids are going to be, the top 50 photos will be exhibited at Kauai Community College for a month. And then that is going to spark community dialogues. We're going to be inviting leaders from Kauai and community members to talk story with the kids and find out from them directly why these photos are important to them. What do they see that's good, and what do they see that's not so good?
And Again, people could go to KauaiPhotoChallenge.org. Is this going to be organized through schools, too, or can any person, and what's the age range again?
Any student on Kauai, homeschooled or in public school or private school, can enter grade 6 all the way to grade 12. So there's two divisions, a younger division, grade 6, 7, 8, and an older division in high school.
Well, thank you. That sounds great.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for letting us call in.
Okay. Aloha.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So I imagine that's not like if you want more fingers, you take a picture of your hand or something like that.
Right. If you want more farms, you would take that. And maybe if you want less broken down cars that need to be cleaned up in the park, you know.
Traffic.
Traffic, you know, yeah. So, yeah. But it's good. It's a really great creative way to get kids engaged, saying what's important to me, what do I want, what do I don't want. So, Yosh, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And I just want to thank you for all the many, many ways that you help the community. Your smiling face is there. One project after another, including the cancer event last Friday night.
Yeah, our team made $1,052. So thank you for everybody who bought the Lao Laos and helped at the tent and made that event great. And I believe the whole event made $20,000.
$20,000.
So to cancer awareness.
Yes. Right on. Marshall, as always, thank you for your help.
My pleasure.
Listeners, we love you. John, you rock. No, you jazz.
Good story.
Okay, so aloha. This has been Kauai Soapbox, and this is the County Council Report, and I will be there tomorrow, and I hope many other people engage because these decisions are important.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of August 24th. There will be a council committee meeting on Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. There will also be an affordable housing advisory committee meeting on Thursday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. This meeting will be in the P.E. Coy Building Conference Room A at 4444 Rice Street in Lihue. Here's some agenda highlights. For the regular committee meeting, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Council Chair Raposo for the county engineer to provide an update on the Kapa'i Swinging Bridge and efforts of the administration to work with the Kapa'i Foundation. The Planning Committee has in their agenda Bill 2459 for an ordinance to amend the county code relating to the Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance. This is special standards for the issuance of farm worker housing use permits. The Economic Development and Intergovernmental Relations Committee has two requests from Councilmember Ku'uli'i. The first is for agenda time to discuss and approve for inclusion in the 2016 County of Kauai and Hawaii State Association of Counties legislative package a proposed amendment to the Hawaii revised statutes that would increase Hawaii's statewide minimum wage to $15 effective January 1, 2019. The second item is for agenda time to discuss and approve for inclusion in the 2016 County of Kauai and Hawaii State Association of Counties legislative packages a proposed new chapter to the Hawaii revised statutes entitled paid sick leave, which would require many employers to provide a minimum amount of paid sick leave to employees to care for themselves or a family member who is ill, needs medical care, is the victim of domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. Also related to this is Resolution 2015-57, supporting economic justice for Hawaii's working families for a living wage, paid sick leave, paid family and medical leave, and the right to organize. The Budget and Finance Committee has a request from the prosecuting attorney for approval to receive and spend federal funds in the amount of $163,000 for the Sexual Assault Prosecution Unit for the period January 1, 2016 through December 31, 2016. This is to create a Sexual Assault Prosecution Unit. The prosecuting attorney also requests approval to spend $95,535 in federal funds for the cold case unit. And that's also for the period January 1, 2016 to December 31, 2016. Council Chair Raposo and Council Vice Chair Kagawa request the Director of Finance and the Real Property Tax Manager discuss the assessment of real property, the way property is assessed, methodology used by the Real Property Tax Assessment Division to assess property, and other related issues. Here are highlights in the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee meeting, which will be Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m. The first agenda item is a comprehensive approach to solving the affordable housing crisis on Kauai. It's some ideas from Councilmember Joanne Yukimura. The second item is updating Kauai County housing policy, preliminary discussion, important elements of a housing policy, and possible amendments to Ordinance Number 860, and that's current housing law and policy. To view meetings or meeting archives, please visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. And let's hope Kilo does not pay us a visit. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, our Kauai's community radio station. And stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next.